How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You know that moment when something happens that makes absolutely no logical sense, but every cell in your body knows it's real? That's what I'm here for. Hey, what's up? My name is Star, and I am your host to this creepy shit podcast. I'm not interested in debunking your experiences or explaining away the things that keep you up at night. I'm here because the world is way stranger than we pretend it is. Every week, we're diving into the stuff that lives in the spaces between what we're told is possible and what people actually experience. Real hauntings with documentation that'll probably make you uncomfortable. Paranormal encounters that follow patterns nobody wants to acknowledge, and folklore that survives centuries because it keeps proving itself true. I have spent nights, weekends, days, months collecting these stories, and here's what I've learned. The people who've seen things don't usually want to talk about them, but when they do, they all say the same thing. I know how this sounds, but, well, let me tell you, you don't have to explain yourself here. We know how it sounds, and we're listening anyway. And look, we're probably going to tackle some genuinely heavy stuff in just about every episode, so expect a healthy dose of sarcasm and humor along the way, because sometimes laughing at the darkness is the only thing that keeps us from swallowing us whole. And if you're tired of people telling you what you didn't see, what you didn't feel, what you couldn't possibly have happened, rest assured, this is your space. No judgment, no explanations, just the truth, as messy and unsettling as it actually is. Because remember, sometimes the creepiest shit is also the truest. Welcome to Creepy Shit Podcast. Typically, the two most disturbing types of ghost stories that genuinely freak me out to no end. I mean, almost everyone does at some point. There's some sort of spot in a story that is just very disturbing or uncomfortable. But I will tell you, stories about penitentiaries and asylums always hit me hard. And today we are going to tackle our first asylum story. So this is totally something new, and I'm excited about it to share this story with you because we're taking a trip where the water is peaceful and fishing is good if you're into fishing. And the past, well, the past refuses to stay buried, my fellow creepers. So welcome back to the Creepy Shit Podcast. I cannot wait to dive into this with you. And well, maybe I can a little bit because it's kind of creepy, but let me just first set the scene for you on this, okay? You're standing at the shores of Lake Winnebago, and if you don't know where that is, that's in my wonderful home state of Wisconsin. This is just north of Oshkosh. It is a gorgeous and glorious day. Families are having picnics. People are casting lines, hoping to catch walleye. There's even this charming little lighthouse that is on this artificial island that was built back in 1937. Never actually used as a navigational aid, mind you, because the Department of Transportation rejected it for whatever reason. Classic government efficiency right there. But here's the thing about Asylum Point Park. And yes, that is actually what it's called. the name isn't just some modern marketing gimmick or Halloween attraction for branding. This place earned the name the hard way. Back in 1873, when construction finished on what was originally called the Northern Asylum for the Insane. So let's dive into this. Go grab your favorite cup of whatever and buckle in, because this is going to be a bumpy ride. Take it away, Ern, if you're a Harry Potter fan. All right, here we go. Okay, now, before we go any further, let's get something straight. I am not here to mock mental illness or make light of people who suffered. Totally not my style, and honestly, it's rather tacky. So, the history of psychiatric care in America is genuinely tragic. And the people who lived and died at these institutions deserve respect, not sensationalism. But their stories also deserve to be told, especially when those stories refuse to stay quiet. The Northern Asylum for the Insane, which was later renamed to the Winnebago State Hospital and eventually Winnebago Mental Health Institute, opened on April 21st, 1873. The first patient walked through those doors into what was supposed to be a place of healing. It was designed using the Kirkbride plan. And this is like a 19th century architectural philosophy that believed the building itself could help cure mental illness. Wide corridors, lots of natural light, fresh air from the lake. It almost sounds quite lovely and peaceful, doesn't it? Well, unfortunately, it really wasn't. By 1891, they had 650 patients crammed into a facility designed for no more than 500. By 1932, that number had ballooned to 864 patients, with only 164 being staff members. So do the math on that ratio, right? You'll start to understand why things went wrong really fast. So the treatment methods of the era were, we'll call them primitive and deeply disturbing. We're talking about electroshock therapy, ice water submersion, bloodletting, all in the name of curing mental illness. And when you pack nearly 900 human beings into a space not designed for that many, with staff that's completely stretched to like impossibly thin layer, well, I'm sorry to say, not sorry to say, that desperation breeds violence. Now, I've read the records. I've seen the newspaper clippings. In January 1934, a patient named Oscar Schrader died under circumstances suspicious enough to trigger a legislative inquiry that lasted 6 months. The investigation didn't just look at Winnebago. It spread to several other state mental health facilities. And when the dust settled, around 30 staff members and officials had been officially and formally dismissed. 30. That's not a few bad apples, you guys. That's a systemic failure. But here, of course, is where our story gets complicated. Because while the living were failing, okay, hang on, let me just back this up, okay? So, because while the living were failing each other inside these walls, something else was building. You can call it residual energy, call it collective trauma, call it whatever helps you sleep at night, okay? But the fact remains that Asylum Point has a reputation that extends far beyond its tragic history. So Let me tell you about Rufus. Oh, Rufus. Fucking Rufus. Okay. So visitors to what's now the Winnebago Mental Health Institute have reported encounters with a spirit they call Rufus, particularly in Sherman Hall, not to be confused with Shermer, Illinois. Okay. Now, I've tried to track down who Rufus might be in real life. Like, was he a patient, a staff member, someone else entirely? Right. The records aren't clear on this. And honestly, they might never be because reports about him, however, like from people, staff members and people who go to visit, they are on remarkably consistent. Like they are very consistent stories. So people describe seeing a figure in outdated clothing, usually on the second floor where old medical instruments and mannequins are stored. And yes, I know how that sounds. Like, blah, blah, blah. But old medical equipment and mannequins? Come on, right? If you're going to have a ghost story, at least make it in a normal room. But here's the thing about the paranormal. It doesn't follow the rules of good storytelling. It just is. It is what it is. So the second floor of Sherman Hall has become something of a hotbed for unexplained activities at Asylum Point. So visitors report disembodied voices, unexplained noises, sudden temperature drops that happen in isolated spots while the rest of the area remains completely normal. Now, some people have reported seeing full apparitions, not just shadows or glimpses, but clear figures of people who shouldn't be there. Now, I'm going to level with you. I've been to my fair share of allegedly haunted places, and I always walk away a believer. I would say at least 97% of the time. Like, I think there may have been like one or two where I'm like, I don't know if I believe that, but or felt anything or anything like that. And 90% of what people report as paranormal usually is perfectly, it tends to have a perfect, like, rational explanation. Now, I want to preface something with this because, like, I think it's always important whenever you go to a haunted location, and this is just a little paranormal tip, especially if you're a beginner weirdo, that you really, like, we want to believe. We want to believe, like, absolutely. And I'm not saying don't believe, but I'm saying don't lose all rationality, okay? Like, don't fool yourself into believing something when there's a perfectly rational explanation for it, because old buildings, you know, they creak, and sometimes old buildings have crazy temperature fluctuations that happen. Shadows can play tricks on tired eyes if you're doing this at nighttime. The human brain is incredibly good at finding patterns where none exist, especially when we're primed to expect something spooky. Okay, so that's just my little beginner's tip for you, just to keep a rational mind. But that other 10% that it's what keeps me up at night as well. So, walking the trails, and yes, there are some beautiful trails around Asylum Point to this day. Like, they're still around. You'd never guess that any sort of darkness soaked the land. Like, the park is beautiful. It's genuinely peaceful. Deer wander through the woods. Eagles soar over the bay. Like, it's really honestly quite nice. Families even take their kids to see the lighthouse and like skip stones on the water. It's like, seriously, it's really lovely. Like, which I want to make sure that, like, I'm willing to bet as a side note that, you know, even though the lighthouse isn't a working lighthouse, I still kind of wonder if there's any stories maybe around that lighthouse by chance, but I digress. But if you know where to look, and more importantly, if you know what you're looking for, you can find the Asylum Cemetery hidden in the woods. And hundreds of, and I do mean hundreds, of unmarked graves are scattered through the trees. the final resting place of patients who died with no family to claim them, no money for proper burials, and just numbered markers, if that. Which, that's so sad. Like, that's so sad. So think about that for a moment. Hundreds of people who lived, suffered, and died at this place, buried in unmarked graves that most visitors to the park never even knew existed. If you believe in spirits, if you think that trauma can leave an imprint on a place, well, no joke, this is your ground fucking zero, my friend. One of the most notorious residents of the asylum was John Fleming Schrank. Yep, Schrank. S-C-H-R-A-N-K. The man who tried to assassinate Theodore Roosevelt in Milwaukee on October 14th, 1912. And if I could just make a side note, if you've been listening with me this long, have you ever noticed how 1912 keeps coming up in all of my researches? Like, isn't that fucked up and weird? Like, what? Like, 1912 is a serious, massive year in history. It is so bizarre. And anytime, like, I've even got a few other, like, future episodes that I'm working on right now, and 1912 comes up again. Like, that was just a fucked year. Like, seriously. So, anyway, getting back to our story here with John and trying to assassinate Theodore Roosevelt, and you may know the story, Roosevelt's glasses case and his 50-page speech was in his jacket pocket, which stopped the bullet. And he went on to deliver the speech anyway, bleeding through his shirt. Wow, talk about a badass dedication. Like, seriously, like, no way, man. Bullets ain't stopping me. I'm fucking giving this speech. It takes more than that to kill the bull moose, he supposedly said to a newspaper article. But Schrank was declared insane and committed to Asylum Point in November of 1912. He lived there for decades before being transferred to another facility where he died in 1943. His body was donated to the medical school for anatomical dissection. Even in death, this poor man couldn't catch a break. But more recently, you might remember the Slender Man case from 2014. The two girls who stabbed their friend 19 times in Waukesha. Anissa Weyer and Morgan Gracier were both sentenced to treatment at this facility at Winnebago Mental Health Institute. The facility has seen some of Wisconsin's most troubled minds through its doors. And fun fact, if you want more on this specific story of the Slender Man, I highly recommend that you go listen to my friend Allie and her husband Tom on Macabre Mondays. You can find them on Apple and Spotify. They have the whole story on this of beginning to end. So if you want more on that, I highly recommend go check that out. They are phenomenal. And Macabre Mondays is probably one of my favorite podcasts to listen to as well. So what do we make of all of this, right? Is Asylum Point actually haunted based on some of these stories and allocations from people who have been there? Or is it just the weight of history playing tricks on our minds? Well, here's my take. And I've been thinking about this now for a while because some places hold on to pain. Whether you want to call that the supernatural or just psychological, it doesn't really matter. The effect is the same. When you stand in a place where hundreds of people have suffered and died, where systemic abuse was covered for decades, where the forgotten were buried in unmarked graves, that changes the quality of the air, does it not? So maybe it's the spirits of former patients still wandering the halls they knew in life and they don't know anything further than that. Maybe it's just our own minds processing the weight of historical trauma. And maybe it's both, because I do believe a lot of times it can be both. And maybe the distinction doesn't even really matter as much as what we think it does. What I do know is this. The people who lived and died at the Northern Asylum for the Insane were real. Their pain was real. The stories matter, whether they're still around to tell them or not. And if you ever find yourself at Asylum Point Park on a quiet evening, watching the sunset over Lake Winnebago, which, by the way, totally do it. It's really pretty. Pay attention to what you feel. What do you feel in the air? Not just what you see or hear, what you feel. Because this place, in my opinion, it full on remembers, even if we the living would rather forget. Now, here's where this story gets an interesting twist, because unlike so many other asylums from that era, Winnebago never actually closed its doors. While places like Pennhurst and Rolling Hills became abandoned ruins left to decay, Winnebago evolved. The 1970s brought massive changes to the mental health care in America. The push for deinstitutionalization, damn, that's a big word for me to say today, meant that patient populations at facilities like Winnebago and its sister institution, Mendota, dropped to about one-third capacity by 1975. Politicians started making noise about closing one of them in order to save money. It's always about fucking money, honestly. So gross. Money is so dirty, too. Ew. Okay. So, sorry, a little off track. I get excited. ADHD at its finest, folks. But Governor Patrick Lucey wanted to shut down the Winnebago facility entirely. The Democrats in the state assembly backed him, but the Republicans in the state Senate had other ideas. They voted to close Mendota instead, and it turned into this like super bizarre political standoff, with Lucey threatening to veto any budget that funded both facilities. Ugh, seriously, it's almost like history on repeat right now. It's so gross. But in the end, both stayed open. So sometimes bureaucratic gridlock works in really weird ways. And I guarantee you that is probably the last time you will ever hear me talk anything political on this, because I do not enjoy politics very much. So today, the Winnebago Mental Health Institute is still very much operational, treating around 270 patients with complex psychiatric conditions and challenging behaviors. It's nothing like the overcrowded nightmare of the early 20th century. Modern treatment methods, there's proper staffing ratios, accreditations by the Joint Commission. It's actually become what those original architects honestly probably hoped that it would be. But here's what's fascinating. They haven't forgotten their history. There's actually a museum on the campus called the Julaine Farrow Museum, named after a nurse who worked there for 36 years. Damn, that's some loyalty. That's longer than most marriages, like seriously. And became the institution's unofficial historian. It's housed in what used to be the superintendent's residence, and it's open to the public. There are 10 rooms of exhibits, artifacts, old medical equipment, and historical documents. You can literally walk through recreated patient rooms and see how treatment has evolved over 150 years. Now, that's the part that I think is pretty fucking cool. Like, and I love medical mysteries. So being able to like just have a glimpse into what it used to look like and see that, even though it may not necessarily pertain to a specific medical mystery, you can kind of start to connect the dots to some other things. And that is really, it's really fucking cool. So think about that. How many places would actually have the courage to put their darkest history on display like that? most institutions would rather bury that and pretend like, oh, nope, scandals never happened. It's not a thing. That's all just, you know, gossip and rumors. But Winnebago actually owns that. And they're saying, this is where we came from. This is what we learned. And this is how we are doing it better today. And to me, that is fucking sexy. Like, seriously, I love that. Like, bravo. I love that. The ghosts, whether you believe it or whether it's metaphorical, they're still there in the museum that preserves the Institute's history. The cemetery hidden in the woods and the stories people tell when they think no one's listening. But now they coexist with something else. Redemption, maybe. Or at least the attempt at it. So next time you're driving past Asylum Point, maybe pull over. I take a walk on those trails. Visit the lighthouse. Skip some stones. But remember where you are. Remember who came before you. And maybe, just maybe, you'll understand why some places never really let go of the past. All right, you guys, that's all for today's journey into this dark corner of Wisconsin. If you've got your own experiences, or if you have any really good asylum hauntings or stories, or anywhere else where the past refuses to stay buried, please, please, please drop me a DM over on Instagram at creepyshitpodcast. That's creepy_shit_podcast. I love hearing from you. I love hearing all the weird stories and everything. I love them. They are awesome. All right. I will catch you guys next week. And remember, sometimes the creepiest shit is also the truest. Bye.
Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No.